I was thinking about what we are coming to today, and I was reminded, along with those pictures, of people in my life, family and friends, that have been folks that have pointed the way. You know, in some ways, there were people that were explicitly pointing the way, and you know, my I've mentioned to you before, my seventh grade Sunday school teacher, Mr. Saunders, who is at the highest circle of saints in heaven because he was a seventh grade Sunday school teacher. He was my seventh grade, and I had a cohort of trouble. All right, we were kind of a group, and he still loved us, and he taught us how to love. And there are people that were in my life that were always teaching, but not necessarily, consciously doing lesson plans for Sunday morning. There were people that were constantly sort of living their lives out in front of me. Not perfect people. Not perfect people. All the people that are on this table, lovely people, but I would dare to say that none of them were perfect all the time. Certainly within my own family, I know that there were foibles and troubles and, you know, oddities. We all had our own kind of freaky places. We all do now. Amen? So, but they were there. Now, one of them, really kind of two of them, were my parents. My mother and father passed away right at the beginning of COVID. They did not die of COVID, but they got really sick at a really tough time in our country and in our world. My dad had Alzheimer's and just kind of worked his way to the end of his days. My mom had cancer, and she succumbed to cancer suddenly in a tough moment. So right at the beginning of COVID, we lost them, and then lost my father-in-law at that time. So losing a parent, losing anyone, you know, kind of impacts you, right? Even if you kind of know it's coming, you can see it coming from a mile off. Once that moment arrives, it's really disorienting, and it's supposed to. It's a natural part of this. Hard part. And then the journey of dealing with that loss, we call grief, that is a long journey, and it is not something that simply resolves in 6 weeks or 6 months. Many of you are on that journey. All of us will be at some point in our life. One of the things I'm really proud of is our church's grief ministry. It's called Grief to Hope. These are just kind of these beautiful souls who tenaciously stick together with each other, get together largely on Zoom on Tuesday nights. There's a monthly luncheon, and these people can eat. I don't want to like embarrass them, but these people know where to go, okay? And there is also a lot of just honesty and laughter and presence. One of the great things that they've done just recently is put together a wonderful bookmark or card. I believe it's available in the narthex. Yes, it's available in the narthex. Sharon, you move around too much. I was looking for you there, and now you're back there. And you were here a minute ago. What's going on? If you look for that, it should be back there. It's called Sterling UMC Grief to Hope, and there's information about gatherings. Maybe this is something that you would find yourself available to, or curious about, or you know someone who that would be helpful to. Today, being a day of celebration, is also a day that we remember the grief process that's part of, natural part of, normal part of what we go through when someone passes. All right, sorry for the side trip, but I wanted you to hear that. Now, my mom and Dad were both educators. My mom was an English teacher. You cannot tell by the way I use the language, but she was an English teacher. And my dad was a school principal most of his life, most of his professional career. On my mom's side of the family, we have really strong genes, okay? So if you look at, a few generations back, it looks like we're stamped out of the same machine over and over again. The chin, the nose, some of the just kind of like, I used to joke with my mom when she was with me. It's like, I'm sorry, Mom, you look like a version of me without the beard, And she would say, oh, yes, I know. And and then she would say, and all the bad things like the arthritis and the other stuff, you're going to get that too. So, there you go. Congratulations. These things are implanted inside of us. My dad's sense of humor is what you hear in me. Also, my singing voice is my father's singing voice, which is so weird. You might have that experience as well. These things, they're formed in us by our experience of these people, but there's also things that are fundamental to how we're biologically expressed, kind of like what I'm saying about the physical appearances. My wife says, you cannot really kind of know me without knowing what I think. I've tried to mask this over the years, but my mom had one of the most expressive faces. I certainly knew what she was thinking, and I knew I was in trouble from across the room. And Gina says, and my kids say the same thing. We are created in images that go before us. And the reason why I'm telling you this is not only to kind of like celebrate my saints, but also to take you a step further back, which is what we just heard so wonderfully read from the book of Genesis, that God created people in God's image. Have you heard me say this? You're probably sick of me saying this, but it's hard to get this wrapped fully around us. Because we look at ourselves, we look at the difference and the diversity, but also we look at the struggles that we carry within us, right? Ooh, is God like that? Nevertheless, we are told, and I think that if you look at the fullness of life, that is true. That's one of the most fundamental things that we need to hold on to, that you and I, are made in the very image of God. We share that with each other. And then when we look at each other and we're mad at somebody, Now, I know y'all have no ill will feelings about anybody, right? I know that none of you have bad or ill will feelings about anyone, correct? Right. Yeah, baloney. But when we look at the other, the person that we're struggling with, the person that we're angry with, we're also looking at God. Had an awful time with someone in my family years ago. I was mad. And I had to kind of come to the place of remembering Scripture, where a young man comes up to his brother, furious. There's deep animosity between the two, and the one looks at the other and says, looking at you is looking at the face of God. Like it or not, here we are. So we are made in images that precede us. We're part of us, the core of us, is beyond us. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, was fascinated by this idea. One of his sermons, he kind of goes through, actually two really important sermons that formed us as Methodists. Two really important moments of him kind of reflecting theologically on things. He goes back to the moments before what we call the fall, before the apple, the tree, the snake, and all that kind of stuff, where God creates us in God's image and says, well, what was that about? Wonder what that looked like. What could that have been? And if you go back and look at it, it's relational, responsible, happy, and loving. That God is relational. God didn't set this up, walk away from it, say, good luck, right? God is continually working for our good, engaging us and inviting us. And this is what ministry is. Ministry is reconciliation. Ministry is kind of bringing people back into relationship with each other. So that's fundamental. And then the other is responsible, right? God created humanity and said, this is yours, take care of it. This is yours, take care of it. Not, you know, abuse it, not kind of like, you know, destroy it, but take care of it. This is all before the apple and the snake and all that kind of stuff. And then it was not happy, happy, joy, joy, but it was not without the burden of the sin that comes and kind of corrupts all this kind of stuff. Maybe you have seen art that has been restored. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like there are people at the Smithsonian, really kind of smart, bright people that are like chipping away on years worth of wax and bad paint and ugly. And that's exactly what happens with you and I. When we come to a place of encountering God and having that image, which is corrupted on the outside, renewed. We're created for responsibility. We're renewed to do that sort of thing, to keep that work going. And part of that is also being generous. We're beginning a series of conversations for this next month about generosity, right? It is simultaneous to our annual stewardship campaign. I know people always look forward to stewardship campaigns. No? No? Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh gosh, here we go. What I want to try to do is to make this deal with you that I'm not going to try to manipulate you or emotionally kind of like jack you in some way. I don't want to do that. But I do want to invite you to have some conversations about things, not for guilt's sake, but for the idea that we're still growing, right? We're still having some of that stuff chipped off of us. And if we are to look at what it is to be a follower and friend of Jesus, a person expressing and living that image of God that is inside of us, then you know it includes generosity. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about anything else. Did you know that? He didn't talk about sex a lot, but boy, he talked about money. He didn't talk about a lot of things, but he talked about those things that pull at our hearts. He also said this, when there was a moment about, what are you about, Jesus? In the Gospel of John, you've seen this, or if you've been at a football game or sporting event in the last 700 years, I'm guessing 700 years, feels that way, you'll see John 3, right, John 3, 16. And also, you need to throw 17 in there as well. So when we look at 16, beautiful. But don't stop reading there, right? So you could probably say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would live and not perish, right? 17, and see, I have to go back and look at 17 myself, but you heard it just a moment ago. 17 says, God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So the whole business is not kind of like looking at Bill going, I tried with Bill, I really did. No. Or you and me, or Bert. I would imagine sometimes I've been beating myself up, you know, in the car, driving somewhere, feeling terrible about myself, like, you know, how God must look at me and go, oh, man. Let's go back to 16. Maybe that kind of puts things in context. 16 says this, for God so loved, right? God is love. We've talked about this. The most fundamental aspect of what God is about is this compassionate care, this grace, this love for you. God looks at Joan and goes, that's my girl. Yay, Joan. Looks at Mike, that's my boy. So God loves, and because God loves, God does what? For God so loved the world that he... Right. Love and give are connected in that fundamental sense. Now, it's not just like, you know, give money, okay? There's more, so much more. But it is God so loved you and me that he gave us the best and truest and brightest and most holy part of God's self in the expression of Jesus Christ to come into our world and to give and give and give up to the point of death and even beyond, right? And to give renewal. That's the whole, if you're not sure about this, come back at Easter, we'll talk about it. But we've talked about it already. So in the very nature of God, the very love of God, there is also the very fundamental impulse of giving the best. Now, we'll talk about this, we'll talk about it some more. There's all kinds of ways of thinking about giving. I just want you to think about generosity. Today, this is how we'll start the conversation. How generous do you feel that you are? I don't mean to kind of put you on the spot. I'm not going to say, Carolyn, how generous are you today? She looked at me like, I'll answer that. You were probably one of the few, I'm not going to do that. You were going to, though. I so thank you for that. But this is the beginning of maybe a reflection for you. How am I being generous in my relationships with people in my family? How am I being generous in relationships with people that I have in my community or that I work with or I sing with, choir? How generous are you? Generosity is compassion too, for sure. How generous are we with people across faith traditions? Right. How generous are we with people that we find ourselves on the other side of a political argument with or a personal argument with? Can you believe she said that to me? Oh, goodness gracious. Now, this week, I'm going to send you some information maybe to kind of help reflect on that. Just look for that in the email, all right? I'll send you some reflection points for that. But that's the invitation for these next few weeks. How to challenge each other and ourselves with the fullness of the generosity that we have. Of course, the stewardship campaign runs alongside it. Please reflect on that. But please reflect on the fullness of your life as we face really challenging days. Like I said before, it's going to stink, it's going to hurt some, there's, you know that, anticipate it. It won't disappear on Tuesday night. But we have so much in front of us that the world needs to see what Jesus is offering through you in generosity. We'll talk more about all of this, but for now, I invite you to reflect on this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.